Welcoming back to the program, well, the man Tony Kornheiser, called the quintessential American sports writer. He's our friend Bob Ryan. Hello there, Bob.
Hello. I loved hearing Peter Gunn. That's how we all discovered Henry Mancini.
Absolutely, and I love that show. That, to me, that show was so far ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, yeah, well, a lot of news going on here. I don't want to waste your time.
It is, yeah, it's a busy day. One of those in Boston sports, Chaim Bloom, dismissed by the Red Sox after 4 years. Apparently, this was all his fault.
Well, obviously, we won't go that far, but he's taking the fall right now, for sure. He's taking the fall for this turn of events. There's so much to unpack here. I don't even, you need the whole show. You probably are having the whole show, you need the whole week. Let's start with this. 20 years ago, approximately, John Henry bought and his group and bought the Red Sox. And at that point, I think they were his exclusive concern outside of his actual business of hedge fund. And now, 20 years later, what concerns me and others is that the Red Sox are just part of a bulging portfolio of a thing called the Fenway Sports Group. And you wondered just how much attention he was paying to it, really, and how much he cared about them as opposed to Liverpool or Fenway's Roush Racing or betting and anything else. You know, and in the midst of all this, he hires a different type of a GM, a completely radically different approach GM from the one that was once removed, and that was Dave Dombrowski, and who spent money and went after named players and jettisoned prospects and shopped at the highest level of the luxury goods store, and hired a guy who was famous for shopping at the bargain basement. And 4 years later, here we are with that. So I'd like to get the truth serum injected into John Henry, thinking what he was thinking, because he'll never tell us.
So I think this is the question fans ask, too. Was Bloom simply doing what ownership wanted him to do?
I believe that to be true myself. I had no other logical and rational conclusion based on the way things continually happen. The big investment that he made was Trevor Story, and he got hurt, and that happens. And all right, you know, I don't know how good he would have, you know, what how fruitful that would have been. The big faux pas, of course, was Mookie. And the fact that they didn't get a great bounty for him, and Mookie is embarrassing us by having another MVP season, embarrassing him, and everybody that had to do with it. John Henry could have signed off, could have said, no, there's one thing we're not going to do. We can't trade, and I'm not being facetious here when I say this or hyperbolic, perhaps the single most multi-skilled player in the history of this franchise. That you can make an argument that they have never had a player who could do more different things at a high level than Mookie, and that means offensively and defensively. You tell me who, if it's not him, that was multi-skilled to that level, and I including the as good a base runner, intelligent base runner as we've ever seen in the Red Sox. Remember his last official act, by the way, so as a Red Sox. I made an assumption along the way. He's just doing what John Henry wants. And hoping that they can work it out, and if all other circumstances, the outside forces don't conspire against them, if the Orioles don't suddenly get good, and if the Blue Jays don't continue to be what they were good, and if the Braves don't show out to be an exemplary organization that seems to do everything right, and especially with developing pitchers, maybe they'll survive in the division, and life will be fine. So. There's so much to talk about here, and so many unanswered questions that will never be answered until John Henry is forced to take the stand with sodium pentothal shot into his body.
And they did spend money. It wasn't like they all of a sudden slashed the budget completely, but some would argue they overspent on guys like Story, Masataka Yoshida. So there was money spent, but not always wisely.
Well, no, that's true. Well, judgment. See, this goes back to when Andrew Friedman left the Rays to go to the Dodgers. I said, now we're going to find out what happens when clear intelligence is gifted with unlimited funds, and we're finding out the Dodgers have won. You know, they keep winning, and they got injuries this year, and they're probably not going to beat the Braves when it comes down to a showdown in the playoffs. But that's because of injury, not because of anything else. There's no question that, about judgment. I mean, talent. I mean, judgment versus money. Judgment should prevail ultimately, and the Rays are living proof of that based on their payroll and their success. So yes, we hope that Chaim would have that kind of judgment transported here that the Rays seem to have, and could get the job done. Now, let me just say this, and before we go any further. I finally met it, ran into him. I'm not there every day, obviously. I retired in 2012. But I go to the ballpark as a season ticket holder, and I happened to be riding the elevator 2 weeks ago, and who was in the elevator? Just me and him. I had met him before. So we shook hands and explained the pleasantries, and we had about a 5 or 6 minute conversation. And he just struck me as a really warm, friendly guy, which everyone tells me, we all hear today, is that everybody feels that way. He left with a lot of friends in the organization. He's a good man, and he deserves a better fate. And I hope he'll land on his feet with an appropriate job.
And I think one of the things that bothered fans, it wasn't just the moves, it was what seemed to be, I guess, a certain tone deafness and not arguing or not understanding what it was that Boston sports fans loved. And when you look at a guy like Xander Bogaerts, who had seemingly done everything right, and they insulted him, they dismissed him and said, we'll move on and we'll find a replacement from the scrap heap.
Yeah, well, and he's, fortunately for them, he's not having a big year, but that doesn't mean he won't come back next year. He's going to have a bounce-back year to justify. I'm sure they're grumbling about him in San Diego, frankly. But I agree. His value transcends statistics. It transcends, he's an exemplary human being and an exemplary teammate and the kind of guy you want on your team. And Mookie was exactly the same. You wanted him on your team, and as a person, and as well as his extraordinary skill. that's right. Bogaerts walking was a disappointment for sure. Now they've got some kids. I mean, let me just throw one other thing. I haven't even asked you yet, but I'm going to get on my soapbox while you give me a forum here. This nonsense about worrying about whether they finish fourth or fifth and is idiocy. The fact is, it doesn't matter if you don't finish first in a five-team division, whether you finish second, third, fourth, or fifth, unless it's about the wild card itself.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. In other words, in 8-team leagues from 1901 to 1960, and finishing last had a stigma. When there was 10-team leagues from 1961 until the later on in the 20th century and to get to where we are now it was a stigma to finish last in a 10-team league. There's no big deal of finishing last in a 5-team division. It doesn't matter. Third, fourth, fifth doesn't matter. Particularly when your record might put you in first or second place in a crappy division in the Central, and even both leagues. So let's get off this last place nonsense. That's not a point. I don't want to hear any more about last place. People say, they finished last place doing the last 4 years, whatever the hell it is. I don't care if they didn't finish first. And they didn't make, and they still made the playoffs 1 year in this time. So I don't want to hear about that nonsense. Let's just forget that.
And so this was a team that was at least within shouting distance of a playoff spot at the trade deadline. Is that part of the reason you think he was let go today? Is his inability to really pull the trigger?
The only move was Arias, I wasn't aware of his existence at all. I mean, and most people weren't. And that didn't move the needle in any way, and hasn't been very fruitful. They didn't make moves. He didn't make the moves to maybe market. Who's marketable? I mean, a Story back at the World, or Verdugo maybe with the way he was going at the time. And see what you could get rid of, get. But the one thing we'll say, just bothers me, crazy. Duran is a find. Casas is a find. Sedan, Rafaela may very well be a find. There's some Abreu, who he's over there at a 5-for-5 game in the bigs. He could be a find. There's reason for optimism in the future with these young players. Wong turns out to be better than we ever thought. I mean, he's not worth trading for Mookie, but it's a serviceable major league catcher, and he can throw and he can run. He can do things that one catcher, most catchers can't do. He can run, and he could be useful for the future. But what we don't have is, and I think I heard it phrased very well today on the broadcast, which is that you're going to be a good team if Bayo is your third best starter. I'll buy that. I don't want him. If he doesn't project to be an ace, he projects to be a really solid rotational starter who can win 15 games. And in this modern world. you know, 15 is the old 20, and 10's the old 15. So the way they use pitchers, but if he's your third starter, you may have something good, and he certainly is a keeper. And apparently, there's some prospects in the big and the minors. The future is not dim, and whoever walks in, actually, maybe wind up thanking Chaim for some of the things he did that the people didn't appreciate.
Well, let's follow up on that. We're talking with Bob Ryan here on Downtown. Given that there's at least a perception out there that the ownership is pulling the strings, is this an attractive job for someone?
Well, I think I don't know what the cutoff line is, Rich, about how many young prospects make you drool as opposed to, okay, that's nice. But I think when you got, I'm optimistic about this. I think I'm really looking forward to getting Duran back. I was excited about him. I love what I see in Casas. Abreu, who knows? And everybody in the baseball is aware of Rafaela, and we've seen some glimpses. Hit another home run today, opposite field, and he can play three positions. He can run like hell. He looks like he's from Curacao, and he's got that pleasant, bubbly, cheerful, smiling personality that these guys from Curacao and Aruba seem to have always. This reason, the answer to your question is very possibly. I can see somebody sitting out there, some up-and-comer in the front office worlds of baseball, saying, I like to work with that team. There's something going on there.
Obviously, they need some starting pitching so that Bayo can be that number three, but how valuable is starting pitching these days when very few guys give you more than five innings?
Right. Well, there's new standard. They don't even have, look how often recently guys couldn't get to the fifth. If the new standard is six, they don't have enough guys to beat that standard. Now, we got it today. We got a nice one today out of Hauk. And that was encouraging because, he's been I think a disappointment, frankly. And that was nice. And he threw a career-high pitches. And there was a very great surprise. And eyebrows arched very high skyward when he came out for another inning. That he wasn't. And Alex did something that almost no manager does, and he doesn't do. And he went out to the mound, and he came back without a new pitcher at that moment. That was a shock. So, but you got to get, if the new standard is six, they need more guys who could get you to six. That's the way the game is played today. I hate it. I'm a romantic. I want to see the CGs, but I'm resigned to the fact that those days are gone.
One of the things that troubled this team all season long was really poor fundamentals, particularly on the defensive side of things. Was that a matter of not getting enough coaching for some of these young guys, or was that the roster that poor Alex Cora was handed?
I wish I knew. I mean, it was atrocious. It was utterly embarrassing, unsatisfactory major league defense that we saw so often in multiple positions. And a regression from Devers, who every once in a while makes a spectacular play, but botched far too many routine plays in a way that we thought he had gotten beyond last year. I don't know. I wish I were smart enough to give you that answer. I don't know if they need to go hire Ron Washington, who's the great godfather of infield instructors, apparently today. What they got to do, I don't know. And not just the infield either, but the Casas is going to be better. He's going to work at it. I really like everything about him, and the way he carries himself, and the way he thinks, and his poise. I like him a lot. I won't say he'll win a gold glove, but someday you're going to be very comfortable with him over at first base. You won't go worry about anything. He makes some really nice plays right now, and that's good to see. So I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to your question, but I know that we all know this, that it was a tough team to be a pitcher. There were far too many four- and five-out innings, and you can't have that.
Bob, it sure sounds like this is it for Terry Francona as manager of the Cleveland Guardians. Is he an automatic Hall of Famer, you think?
Oh, if he's not, then not the voting body, that committee that passes on that judgment ought to be ashamed of itself. I worry, I just want him to get healthy and stay healthy. I worried about him when he was here, and he was barely in his early 50s. He had that circulation issue he always had. He always seemed to have something. He's just not a very healthy guy. And I'm surprised, quite frankly, that he lasted as long as he did.
Bob, you got a little more main time on your docket in the days ahead?
I do. I'm home at the moment. I had to come back for a little business at home, but returning to bucolic Weld, Maine tomorrow, and we were returning, my wife and I, from Weld on Wednesday. I got to tell you, I was really excited. I spoke at the town hall last Saturday to a wonderful group of people, and it was my real coming out party in Weld after being there, going up there 15 years. But it was an honor to speak to those people in that historic town. And it does have some history there. And so we really enjoy ourselves in Weld.
That's wonderful. Well, have a great time next week, Bob. Great to talk with you. Thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon. We'll catch you soon.
Oh, always time for you, Fitch. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Bob Ryan, Boston Globe, on this big day for the Red Sox with the dismissal of Chaim Bloom.